Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 9, The Desire Tree of Devotional Service. Text number 1. Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurun Yasyanu Kampa Swapi Mahabdim Santaritsukam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to the spiritual master of the entire world, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a dog can swim across a great ocean. Purport. Sometimes it is to be seen that a dog can swim in the water for a few yards and then come back to the shore. Here, however, it is stated that if a dog is blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can swim across an ocean. Similarly, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, placing himself in a helpless condition, states that he has no personal power, but by the desire of Lord Chaitanya, expressed through the Vaishnavas in the Madan Mahan Vigraha, it is possible for him to cross a transcendental ocean to present Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava. Not thinking, I am so powerful, I am so great, I am so intelligent, I am so qualified. But rather, realizing that all my power simply comes from Krishna. When Krishna gives, we can do so many things. When Krishna takes, then everything is gone. Like that. Why be proud of one's brain or one's beauty, one's position of birth? All these things are given to us. In Krishna, Krishna gives to his devotees. Not only, he also gives to materialists according to their karma. But whatever he gives to a materialist according to karma, that will break down quickly. That will just temporarily be there and then it will be gone. But to his devotees, he actually gives lasting spiritual, he gives lasting powers. We see that it is described that the demigods are much more beautiful than human beings. And in comparison, a human being is just a low creature. The bodies of the demigods, they don't perspire for one thing. And there's no dust ever clinging to their body. And the demigods, they never touch the ground when they walk. So, from a demigod perspective, human beings are not very attractive. And then, but it is said that from the perspective of the residents of Vaikuntha, the demigods are just, their beauty is nothing in comparison to the residents of Vaikuntha. And then if we look at the residents of Kolok, those residents of Vaikuntha, they look just ordinary compared to the residents of Golok. And amongst the residents of Golok, the gopis are certainly the most beautiful. And amongst them, undoubtedly, Srimati Radharani is the most beautiful. So in this way, one becomes empowered by Krishna. And a devotee becomes empowered by Krishna to go beyond his material conditioning. The materialist is trying to build up his own power. Take some pill, take some energy food, do some exercise, and you have muscles like Hulk, and then you are very powerful. Everyone shudders in fear when they see you, you're just walking down the street, look at those arms, in this way we're trying to build our own power. Of course, such powers will not last, and such powers will always find a greater power. That is the nature of the material world, that no matter what we do, we'll always find a greater power in this world. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, it is by the mercy of all these Vaishnavas and Gurus that I attempt to write about the pastimes and qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether I know it or know not, it is for self-purification that I write this book. So one should never think I'm a great devotee. Just like when we are speaking, we should just speak for our self-purification. Yeah, we should speak and thinking that, all right, let me say something about Krishna. It's not that I'm the one who's giving the talk today, that I am going to say some really far out things and I'm going to share some really deep realizations. No, let me simply describe something about Krishna and about devotional service and let that speak for itself. It is that. If we simply describe the nature of devotional service or the nature of Krishna, that speaks in itself, because it is perfectly pure. That is the potent thing. Just like who am I, right? Or who are we? We are just limited, very much so. Somehow or other, we became involved in materialistic activities, and the result is we became covered. Our powers became covered. And now we have these material bodies which limit us very much. How much can one do with a material body? Very little, actually. So it means that we are sinful and that we have become limited due to our sinfulness. Everyone who is embodied in such a material body is sinful and has become limited. So we all, when we take to devotional service and hear about devotional service, hear about Krishna, then gradually we are liberated from this imprisoned state. Those who are in Maya, they think that, oh, this body is a tool for my enjoyment. That's illusion, because this body can never supply us enough enjoyment, no matter how we try, in this way or that way, to squeeze some enjoyment out of the body. And it seems, no, I am having a great time, but it's not a fact. All those who are trying to enjoy it through the body are experiencing frustration. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is completely aware of that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was, although he was in a material body, he had come to a stage of perfection. He was so deeply absorbed in devotional service that he had become purified from material conditioning. He had become attached to serving Krishna. Then he had gone further. He had experienced the presence of Krishna everywhere. And in this way, he was living in his relationship with Krishna. He was going deeper and deeper in that relationship with Krishna. And now, he was always fixed in devotional service, in pure devotional service. Still he was not thinking, I'm very great. And still he knew, what can I do without the mercy of Krishna.
Kishadas Kaviraj.
He knew, however, that the world was in great need. He knew that people were living in ignorance. He knew that ignorance had become the standard. And he knew that people by nature are inclined to do what others do. If everybody is doing it, well, then why should I not do it? I mean, you know, give me one reason. Why, if everyone's doing it, why should I not do it? Well, what if everyone is in hell by the way you live, by the way they live? Then why should you also be in hell? There's no need for that. Then you can actually get out. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came to give this knowledge, the knowledge of about devotional service, pure devotional services taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is that description. Krishnadas, he had not personally been on the planet or in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had heard from his devotees. And hearing from the pure devotees is the same. In that way, we also, through them we can approach Krishna, through them we can see Krishna. When one is following the direction of the pure devotees, then one is connected to Krishna. Then once, if one is engaging in activities under the directions of pure devotees, then these activities are accepted by Krishna. And in that way, we're also directly connected with Krishna, although we can't see him. But then through that service, gradually the ignorance becomes destroyed. Prabhupada used to say that one can see Krishna. But he was saying, just like when you have cataract. Cataract is a disease where something grows over the eye, right, and covers it. Right? And someone like that goes blind. But they can take it off, right? They can operate and take off that layer, and then you can see again. Right? So Prabhupada said in the same way, yes, you can see Krishna, but now you are blind due to ignorance. And if that ignorance is removed, then again, you can see, literally see. So this is the difficult state of Krishna consciousness, where we cannot see. That's the most difficult state. Yeah? But still, by hearing, we can also experience. We can experience that we get a better quality of life. Yeah? Because one who is is trying to engage in materialistic activities, is getting caught up, right? Either in lust, and then when you get caught up in lust, then so many things to be done just to satisfy sex desire. So many complications arise from that. So lust is not an easy thing, and it's never satisfied. So then one goes for stronger activities. That's the nature of things. So therefore, gradually one becomes degraded, more degraded types of sex. Greed, same thing. You know, money, money, money. We see so many people. They work very hard to accumulate a lot of money, and then a big wall around it, arms, everything to protect it, ready to fight, to keep that property. So in this way, one becomes obsessed. So all these things obsess us. Lust, one becomes obsessed. Greed, one becomes obsessed. Anger, one becomes obsessed. So a devotee gradually becomes free from this obsession, not overnight, but gradually does become free from this obsession. And, well, even if we don't become completely free in the beginning, at least we can't take it so serious anymore. How can you take these material things so serious? You know, money, 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 money. Okay, but you have to, everything has a price. Huh? We like money. If they would come and drop it off on the doorstep, that would be nice. Right? The problem is that you have to slave for it. You have to sell your soul to the devil, yeah, for the money. That is the problem. Then you'll get it. Yeah? You have to do so many things you don't want to do, and then you'll get your money. Okay, some people say, go for the shortcut. They'll go for crime. But then you're at high risk. Yeah? You can be killed any moment, jailed any moment, and all these things. So then there's that high risk. So it all has a price. Everything has a price. And the price is not worth it. That is the thing. So a devotee comes to the conclusion that, all right, let me just be satisfied with something more simple. So if you can be satisfied with simple living, then it's much easier, a lot easier. And, you know, some are taking to devotional service and then they go and try for a while to sort of experience what it's like to enjoy in the world. But they become frustrated because that is the nature of the material world. Devotional service is nice. In the beginning, we test it out. Say, well, kirtan's not bad. Eh? Yes, there's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, it's deep. Yes, there's good knowledge there. Prasadam, it's good. And in this way, we are experiencing some taste, undoubtedly. But there's more. There is much more. There is the taste of becoming very active in changing the world, right? In changing the lives of other people. That there is a taste, you know. There is a level of juice that keeps us going. And then if you become obsessed about that, right? If you get in the fire of passing on the mercy of Krishna to others, then actually you realize that it gets better. Then we become more and more free from all the remnants of this lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, all these things that just hound us. This is like people are actually pushed along by these things, you see. Everybody. This is driving people, just tirelessly whipping them, yeah? Whipping them along. Yeah? Lust, it's like a whip. Go, 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 go. We're whipped along. The path and so many things it forces us to do. So devotional service is liberating us. And that is, it brings us to a point where we're just free. When one is free from material desires, very peaceful. Yeah, then no anxiety. No anxiety. But if you have so many material desires, anxiety, 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 it's not happening. I'm trying to make it happen and it's just not happening and I don't know what to say. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know why it's not fair, you know, and others are getting it, and why am I not getting it? And this is just too much, and we just gradually become really, really angry, angry, you know, just saying, this is too much, yeah, this is just too much. unfair. So we have to see this very clearly. We have to see that people are not free. People are obsessed. And it's not nice to be obsessed. You know? If you're obsessed, like I used to smoke cigarettes. The thought of waking up without a cigarette was unbearable. You know, and the idea that I would wake up in the morning and not have a smoke to begin the day, that was too much. So I was ready to walk 5 kilometers to a machine to get cigarettes so that I could, like, at least wake up in the morning. Anything. Insane. And that's addiction. So all material things are addictive. It's addictive. It locks us into more and more. And because there is the hope to be happy in the material world, we hope that somehow or other I will be happy. And this is Maya. Yes. So a devotee is not hoping that I'm going to be really happy in this world. No. A devotee is also not like desiring to suffer. It's not that a devotee is thinking, let me suffer in the material world. No. A devotee is trying to live a decent life, everything okay, nice food, nice place, yes, as much as possible, of course. Yeah. Not at a very high price. Yeah, not at the price that it takes so much energy. That's not worth it. We can make some endeavor to live in a decent place, but if it becomes too difficult, what to do, you know, then we'll just sort of make the best of a bad bargain. Yeah, we can't bother so much with that, you know. I mean, I can have this chadar, or I can have that one, or, you know, this jacket or that jacket. At the end of the day, we try to stay warm and sort of something that's a little comfortable, looks a little cool. That's enough, you know. How many things do we need? So one has to look at that. We have to look at what drives us in our life. Devotees cannot just be blind. Devotees must know we are conditioned souls. So because we are conditioned souls, we are not liberated souls, we are being driven by lust, greed, and all these things. But it's not intelligent. One should control it with intelligence. One should choose. Say, well, so much, yes, and not more than that. And the less we get involved with these things, the better life gets. Yeah. Sannyasis have the best time. I mean, you know, it's like yesterday one of the students was saying, like, how is it possible that you are a disciple of Jayadvaita Swami? I mean, you are so different. No, we're not. We're not different at all. We're both sannyasis, right? We are both staying out of trouble. Yeah. Oh, yes, we are very much the same. We both stay out of trouble. Okay, we may be speaking in a different way. One may speak karate, and another one may... and the other one may sort of like give it to you straight in the face, more like a punch. But sometimes I can speak very sweet and, like, you know, and you think, like, oh, they're so different. But we're not different, because we both decided that it's really smarter to stay out of all this entanglement. Why bother, right? Why bother trying to have, you know, a nice situation in this world? It's not going to be nice enough, see? And we are convinced about that, very, very sure about that. No matter what you do, it's not going to be nice enough. Therefore, we became sannyasis and said, forget it. We're not going to bother with all this. And instead, yes, we're going to make time. Sannyasi means be free. Be free for Krishna. Yeah? I don't have to go to work at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, put on a tie and a suit, forget it. I don't have a tie and a suit. No way. I don't have to wear like shoes that are too tight the whole day. Right? Forget it, you know. I don't have nothing like that. No. I don't have to say yes, boss. Sure, boss. Whatever you say, boss. Haha, boss. How nice, boss. No way, you know. My boss is Krishna. Right? And that's it. And to him I say yes, whatever you want. Right? Like that, you know. So that's the better way of life. And anyone can have it, right? No problem. But then you have to preach. Preach Krishna consciousness. It's not necessary to get a PhD. She said, you're telling me now. She just got it. Yeah? So now I can tell her. It's actually not necessary to get a PhD. You know, I mean, if you simply preach Krishna consciousness and you live it, right? You live just that, just Krishna and nothing else, then people give you more money than a PhD will ever get. Yeah? That's the way it goes. Yeah? You get everything. Yeah? It's like someone was interviewing Prabhupada and saying, so, you're driving in such an expensive car. And Prabhupada said, you would also like to drive in such a car, isn't it? You know, not the journalist. Yeah? You would also like to drive in such an expensive car, isn't it? And Prabhupada said, well, you can. But then you have to give up sex. Okay, then he shut up, you know. Yeah. So, like that, we can see that it is amazing. The more we just dedicate ourselves to serving Krishna, the more people simply will become impressed. Not everyone, but some people will become so impressed, and they will just support us in whatever we do. So, can I help you? So there's no anxiety. No anxiety. You know, like, I don't have a health insurance, but I'm not too worried about it. In South Africa especially, I don't have to worry about it. Because when I'm not well, a doctor comes to my room, pays obeisances, and if I need an x-ray, he takes me to the hospital, takes me in front of all the queue, right? I get helped immediately, I don't have to wait. I go right through, he takes me back in his Mercedes and offers his obeisances and says, like, you know, I'll get back to you with the results. The more... all we have to do is preach Krishna consciousness, actually. And that is our insurance. That is our security. That is the best security. That is the best security. Yeah. What other security is there? Krishna is the best security. Well, not everyone is ready to do that right away. That's okay then. Then you can do something in the material world. Then get a degree, and then, you know, find yourself a material situation which is comfortable, but don't do anything that harms devotional service. Then no sinful activity. No, not at all. right? So certain jobs are out, right? That's obvious, you know. Yeah, certain jobs just are out. What can be done? You have to avoid. There are many professions in the world that are compromised. What can be said, you know? People make their money off sinful activity, right? So yeah. And of course, it's hard to avoid. Like, you know, for example, if you take a job in DHL, you can't avoid it. Sometimes you're going to have to ship some things that are sinful. Yeah? You know, so in this way, you get compromised. Yeah. If you work in a hospital, you have to serve meat. Yeah. In many departments, if you're a nurse or this or that. Yeah. So many professions get compromised. Someone got here in Pretoria came to me and said, I got offered a job where I can earn 3 times more than I'm earning now. Should I take it? Well, tell me more about it. So it's like, well, it's like I'm basically just doing the office work. It's like, well, you know, what is the business? He says, arms, weapons. Well, you know, that's not like a very clean way to make your money, selling weapons, obviously. Right. It pays well, but you also get karma. It's not just that you can have that job and that, well, it's my profession, so what can I do, you know? I mean, I gotta live. No. You get karma at the same time. You get karma. So one has to be careful in choosing a profession, right, in this world. And all the sinful things, they pay more. You really slow down the potatoes. a devotee has to be smart, right? We want, everyone wants something, but you have to be intelligent. You have to look at, like, okay, I'm going, if I need some money, if I want a few material things, you know. It's not forbidden for a devotee to have an iPhone, you know what I mean, or something even better than that, if you want to. Sexy phone, that's okay. You know, you can have, but you know, not at the price of sinful activity. Right? That's how it is. You know, if you want a little snazzy car, sure, you know, or even a big one, right? You can have, no problem. But not at the price of sinful activity, and that's a little difficult in this world because the better-paying jobs are usually a little compromised. You know, I have, yeah, there are people working in a nuclear power plant. Well, it's not really very pious, you know. It's kind of very destructive thing, a nuclear power plant. The radioactive waste is killing a lot of the planet. So one who works there shares in the karma. How can you do? Better avoid. We see, you know, that story of King Riga. Yeah. King Riga was a king. He was very, very pious. And in his life, he was giving away charity. And he gave away many cows to brahmanas, this, that. And one time, he gave away a cow. And then this cow, because the cow was attached to home, somehow or another the cow walked back to the king's stables or whatever and joined the herd of the king. So he didn't know. He had already given away this cow to a Brahmin. So then he gave that herd away and this cow was part of it. So in this, effectively, he gave the same cow twice to different Brahmanas. He gave one to one, one to the other. Then both the Brahmanas came. And they said, we want our cow. And then the king said, oh my God, this is a mistake, an accident. What can I do? This cow just wandered back. You know, anyway, he said, what I'll do is I'll just both give you 100,000 cows, yeah, with gold-plated hoofs and horns. I'll give you instead. And both the brahmanas said, no, no, we want our cow. Why did they do that? Because the brahmanas wanted to make sure that that the standard, that a king could not touch the property of a brahmana under no condition, that standard was maintained. That's Vedic scripture. So they didn't agree to a compromise, because otherwise any king can take some property of the brahmana, so I'll give something else. No. So they said no. Then at the end of his life, the Yamaraj was asking the king what he wanted first, the result of his pious activities or the result of his impious activities. And he said, I'll take the result of my impious activities. So then for giving away this cow twice, he had to become a lizard. And he was a lizard, yeah, for that. Later he was, because of all the pious activities, he was delivered from that lizard existence by Krishna. Krishna's sons found the lizard in a well. They tried to get him out. They couldn't get him out. And then they called their father. Then Krishna came. And this well was about 10 meters deep. And Krishna just stretched his arm. And it became 10 meters long. He grabbed the lizard. Pulled him out. And he became, got a celestial form. And told the whole story. So, even in profession, right? Even whatever we do on a professional level, we get reactions for it. That is interesting. That is interesting. One has to. So to live a devotee, right? If we get involved in the world and we want some things of the world, then we have to also be very careful. Yeah, it's like, the more we just take shelter of Krishna, the more easy it becomes, the more simple it becomes. Automatically, no sinful activity. Automatically, you don't have to worry, right? You don't get involved in any reactions. Everything is auspicious all the time. Krishna can save us from these reactions. When Krishna is pleased, if we are getting, let's say we do some material things, and also spiritual things, if Krishna is sufficiently pleased with us, he can save us from these material reactions. And for that we pray. It's a little risky, so one has to... So better be poor and pure, you know, than rich and compromised. And that we have to... But that takes strength of character. You know, then you have to be very strong to say no. Because everybody is getting it. And, oh yeah, well, you know, I also want. And, oh, right? And, yeah. I was like, what's it? Like Shakespeare was saying, the deep, dark, sinful things that are behind great possessions. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the deep, dark, sinful things that are behind great possessions. Yeah. So what can you say? You know, it's like, when you're in the process of becoming really wealthy, well, what can you do? You know, what can you do? When it comes to profit, you know, it's like, what to do? You have to just, like, sometimes you just have to, what can be done? You have to just take it. Yeah? You have to take it. So in this way, Well, devotees are choosing a pure life. And in order to help that, Prabhupada had the idea that devotees should live together in communities. Actually, you know, Prabhupada started many communities. And these communities were all based on putting Krishna in the center, and everyone would just, yeah, live simple on their community together and serve Krishna. And in this way, could live a pure life. But then after some time, the leaders of the communities, they were not mature enough. They didn't have enough love in their heart. A leader must be, by nature, a very kind person who is always thinking of how to look after others, you know, and how to help them. And, you know, not that they help means give them everything they want. Help also means sometimes to say no. But a principled leader who is kind and compassionate. Such leaders were missing. And they didn't always look after people. Then people lost trust. Then they said, no, we don't want to live in these communities anymore. We want our own place, you know, where no one can touch us. And then the communities broke up. Right? But actually, Prabhupada initially started communities. Right? He'd get farms, and just everyone was just living on Krishna's farm in small cottages or whatever, serving Krishna. Yeah. So yes, we now that because the trust broke down and because the leaders are not mature, now the second best model is villages, where people have their own little property but live together in communities. But then everybody has to make his money, yeah, and may get compromised. Still, it can work also. Like, I have a group of disciples in the Czech Republic, and they have started a prasadam business, and they just, okay, package prasadam and sell it, and they all moved into a village, one of those villages that sort of where there are no more young people. Only a few old people. Houses are cheap because everyone has moved to the city. And they move back to that village. And they are producing prasadam, which they sell. And more devotees are moving into the village. And they bought the bar, the local bar on the corner. And they're changing it and turning it into a temple now. We're going to open it on Jamastami. So like this, where are we going to go next in South Africa? Yeah. It's like Pretoria. It is nice. It is a little bungalow. We can have a picnic on the grass and, you know, we can make samosas and have a good time. Okay. The ladies are well engaged in the right occupation. No, not in a, but it's saying bringing pleasure to Krishna and pleasure to life, you know. That's the idea. How does it go on? How does it go on after this? So somewhere along the line, we need some community. We need community. But then we need saintly householders, because the renunciants can't look after communities. They have to be free. The sannyasis, they must be free. They cannot get bogged down. They must just be free to come and go and preach and not like get all kinds of people coming like, well, this one is saying this to me and that one is doing that and we are having a big problem and we need a solution and we need help. For that you need saintly householders who solve the problems and look after. Sannyasis don't bother with these things. Forget it. They just preach the glories of Krishna, the glories of devotional service that set you free. Yeah. And by being free, they can encourage others to become free, and that's the best way to live. Therefore, The first option is that you all become sannyasis, the student boys. And the ladies, they can take up university preaching. And then the sannyasis can come and visit the universe and the university programs. It's a good idea. So we'll figure it all out. There's lots of universities. In this way, everything goes on. We need a plan that works. Practical. So Krishna consciousness is about a great philosophy that makes sense. It is about becoming liberated from suffering due to obsession. It is about preaching Krishna consciousness and in this way inspiring people. And we have to find a way to live according to what we need. So sooner or later, you have to make a plan, you have to decide, what do I want? And then make a plan. You have to ask yourself, how much do I need in the world? And then, then accordingly make a plan to keep it clean and pure. For those who cannot be sannyasis, what to do? But a few should try. Why not? And those who want a member of the opposite sex, they gotta get married. Because they got to take care. Because good family life is the basis of peaceful society. Broken family means moral standard, ethics gone, out of the window. So you can see in Africa also, when the traditional culture was in place, there was marriage, there was a much more stable situation. But then urban life began. People moved all to the big cities and all the values just broke down. And what you get? City jungle. Actually. Well, I stopped talking now because I talk too much, some people say. So any feedback from the floor?
Speaking, I was just thinking of the recent experience I had last in Cape Town. I went to my agent and she said, we've got a great job, I've lined up for you. You just have to do it for 3 months and you get $48,000 just for 3 months. So, and it's part time, it's not full time at all. So I went and I was excited. Yay, compared with my student loan, this is great, Krishna, you're amazing. I get to the office and she says, you just have to promote this alcohol brand because you are this, you're that. They're looking for, hip, happening, hot. In other words, I will not repeat. So you could be perfect for it, she said. And at that time, it felt like a heart, like a knife just went through my heart because I went, oh! Because I thought 48,000 Krishnas can help me. And I got there and I heard what it is. And she thought I was crazy, but I said no. I sank into a week's depression after that because I'm not that elevated that I can go, yes, Krishna, I'm going to give it up, I love you, I love devotional service, I love this. But I knew that it was the right thing to do. But why does it hurt so much to do the right thing? And a week before at the Ratyatra, I was completely broke and I thought, how am I going to get a ticket to Durban? Yeah. And I got offered a job to host a cooking show. And that particular episode that I was meant to shoot was promoting new laid eggs, so I went through this thing in my head, okay, it's just eggs, it's not really meat, so you start to rationalize, it's not as bad as that, and I do all these things, and long story short, I'm ashamed to say this, but I filmed that episode, because I needed a ticket to Durban Nadiacha. So the first question is, why is it hurt so bad to do the right thing? The second question is, if you're going to use the money for devotional service or something like Nadiacha, or to do this or to do that, does it lessen the effect of karma? So those are the two questions.
Well, obviously, you know, the world is demoniac, and they are designing it. Study loans are designed to enslave people. You know, there is a strategy behind it. It's not only that they want to help you to finish your studies. They want to lock you in. And therefore, yes, take the study loan, take the study loan, and then you're locked in. You have to slave for so many years, right? And be submissive because you got a big debt. Right? So in this way, we got you. So the system is actually in this way enslaving people. Yeah? So we like debt. Debt is great. The more debt, the more loans people have, the better it is, because basically they become slaves. Yeah? It's modern slavery. It's not, we think slavery has been abolished, it has not. It's just presented in a different way, called study loan. Yeah. Naturally, you know, you felt the oppressing pressure of that money and thinking like, whoa, you know, in one shot I can knock a big hole in it. Whoa, it was. And you smelled freedom, you know, freedom, and you were like dancing all the way, and then you saw behind that ticket to freedom the smiling face of the devil, who said, just advertise this little thing, just sell your integrity here for the money. So, no, what can we do? We live in this crazy modern world, right? But, take some more time to get rid of that study loan. You know, eventually you'll get rid of it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't get compromised. Okay, that's part one. Part two. The eggs. Yeah. No. Well. Anyway. You can disguise yourself with a mustache, you know, at the end of life, and say, "Yamaraj, it wasn't me." And you can do some real acting on that day, I tell you. I wish you lots of luck. In this one, you're on your own. I can't sign off on it. No, I can't. No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it again. I mean, you know, in the beginning, these things sometimes happen, but we shouldn't do it. No, don't do it. Should have told me, I would have paid your ticket. Don't cry. Just cry. It's okay. Okay, next. Savia, any comments?
It's on the same note. Because I find that this question that it always comes up, utility, and what the one part of the question was, someone has asked me that, okay, you, the devotees aren't winning, you're not working for money. But then someone else is working, and then they give you to do your religious work. Now, what they do to earn that money.
And you have to take that.
And the other part is, Prabhupada writes in the purple chair, when he's describing different social models. He says that for the businessman, sometimes he has to be involved in the black market, you know, to make his profit. And that's his occupation he has to do. So now,
there is some fault. Every work is covered by some fault. That is the point, right? Every work is covered by some fault, and you cannot give it up, you know? That's true. But just like to choose for it, you know what I'm saying? It's like if he works in DHL and there's a shipment of some, you know, some stuff that's not exactly within the four regs, what can you do? But like if you choose for a contract, it's already more a conscious choice, yeah? So that's difficult. If you choose to have a job where you serve meat, right? Then you've chosen for it. Yeah. But if you work in a company that, yeah, also does something like touches some of these activities, yeah, what can you do? Like, you know, when I was a kid, my father was in textiles, right? In producing textiles. So there's this big factory. And so when I was a kid, he put me in a suit and he took me to the factory. And, you know, like everyone is, you know, treating me like the boss, the kid of the boss, you know. So, it's all behind that. So I enjoyed it. So I got a full tour of the factory, right? Everything. But when we came to the point where the wool was coming in, right? Where the wool was coming in, I saw all this blood on the wall. And I never thought of that, you know. I never thought that textiles was something that was compromised, you know. So I was shocked because there's quite some blood, you know, not just a little. And then, you know, I mean, it was kind of, you know. I thought textiles was clean, but it wasn't so clean after all. Yeah, it shocked me, actually, when I saw that. So yeah, you know, every work in the world is maybe a bit compromised. You can't avoid it altogether. That's basically what it means. Every work is covered by some fault. You can't avoid it, right? But yeah, still, the principle better be poor and pure, right? Than to be rich and compromised, it applies. Now, what about the Swami who gets a donation from the drug dealer, right? Or from the butcher, for that matters, right? Or from the, or what when we go into the bar and, you know, we sell stuff in we see in traditional Vedic culture, money would not be taken from any impure source. Right? And yet we see that the preachers of Lord Chaitanya, they may take things, right, from people. But if they really know that it is from an impure source, they may not take it. Like if you know it's all drug money, let it go. Yeah, like sometimes drug money made its way to Prabhupada, right? And when people, and you know, obviously, yeah, it's like so much drug money around. Yeah, it made its way in donations to Prabhupada. But when Prabhupada found out about it, then he didn't approve. And he said, no, we shouldn't take this. Yeah. So even those who live off donations must be a bit careful. But if there is a fault in the work,
because a company is touched by some fault. Every company is touched by some fault. That gets purified in the course. That we accept. That gets purified. Yeah, that's all right. But we're not taking... If money, you know, smells like crime, we don't take it. We don't take it. You know, the criminal is trying to buy some good karma. Yeah. No thanks. No thanks. It's okay. We don't take it. Then we, even if it's big bucks, keep it. You know, the mafia gave a lot of money to the Catholic Church in Italy, you know, because like, they're all good Catholics. But close an eye, no. So it's if, you know, if you advertise in airlines, you know what I mean? You for example, you can say, no, but how can you, someone will come, some Brahmin, and will say, how can you advertise the airlines? They are serving, you know, impure things. You cannot do that either. That you can do. That is okay. You know, you can advertise that. It's not directly. And, you know, we all fly in airlines, and, you know, what can be said? It's just, it's touched by it. But to directly stand up and say, you know, this is okay, no. Like if you advertise the airlines, you're not really advertising meat, right? You're advertising flying, right? And when you are, but if you're advertising, you know, eggs, and you hold it in your hand, you know, you paint a face on it, or, you know, and all the kids are like, you know, that's not okay, because then you're directly advertising the impure activity. But like, okay, advertising the airlines, it's obviously covered by, touched by the fault, you know.
Maharaj, about service, you're speaking about committing to just being Krishna's servant, Krishna being
born. It's the best.
Now, also in the realm of service, sometimes you find that you're just given service, maybe sometimes without consultation, if you can, you're able to do what you want.
Yeah.
How to take it in that
experience? Yeah, but when we're new, then we should kind of for a while be Mr. or Miss or Mrs. Surrendered Soul, right? And just sort of do everything, just so that we can become a servant. But then at one point we can develop a particular service that is suitable for us and that is needed, and we're good at it, you know, and then we cannot just accept any other service. So then sometimes you have to say no. Yeah, like someone becomes a book distributor, and then, you know, there's no need to for him to spend a lot of time cleaning the temple or something. No, right? Say no. Go that same time out on book distribution. Yeah? More important. Yeah. That and so as we are getting more experienced, we may get a little more selective, yeah, about our service and just specialize in a particular field. But in the beginning, more okay, you have to learn to do some service, whatever it is. Yes, yeah. One should not say no too quickly to service. Always think it's a gift, it's a great opportunity, it's mercy that I'm allowed to do this. Can I do it? Okay, I'll do it. If it interferes with more important service, then I should not do it. Yeah. Like you can see, you know, I'm doing nothing. I eat, I sleep, and I talk and sing. That's it. Nothing else. You know, to say like, God, you know, can't he even like do something, you know? Cook his own chapati. No.
Yeah.
No. I don't even do that. Yeah. Nothing.
Like, and yesterday I was mentioning to you about that, because I found you doing kirtan. And I said, oh yeah, you always have to be doing kirtan, because you do so much kirtan. And my mother said, yeah, you know, any other suggestion? And I was thinking, you know, basically it's clear that's what you do. I'm finding that I'm being kind of like by the word directed into more kirtan. And it's kind of like Sarva Sacha kirtan. But I always felt I'm not really, especially like I recently had to kind of surrender to it with the Mela, and my name was there.
Yeah. Well, that happens to me too. I mean, it's like, I'm not a kirtan machine, you know? Yeah? Yeah, I'm not a kirtan machine, and, you know, it's like, it's sometimes very difficult, you know? It's like, it's announced, Kadamba Kanana Swami will lead an ecstatic kirtan. give me a break, you know? I'm not a machine, you know? Sometimes it happens, right? Kirtan, you can't order an ecstatic kirtan, you know? It's got to... It comes on its own. Yeah? Sometimes it's an ecstatic one, and, you know. And sometimes I don't want to lead kirtan. It also happens. Yeah. Anyway, we live in the world, you know. I mean, see, in the traditional culture, a sannyasi would just go into the forest and come out of the forest whenever he wanted. He was all by himself and with Krishna. But now we have a preaching mission, so we're working together with others for the sake of pushing all this movement. So then you have to adjust, you know. Then you have to sometimes be what Satsarup Maharaj used to call the dancing bear, you know. Like he says, sannyasi had to be the dancing bear. Dance, bear, dance. Dance, you know, dance. Yeah. Kidding.
Yeah. Maharaj, I forget which Christian philosopher it was, but he said one should work as if everything depends on him, and then pray, you know, because everything depends on God. So when we're making plans to do some service, not exactly we're in the mood of the doer, but we're making our plan, and we want to do something nice for Krishna, but we don't really want to trouble them with all of the small arrangements, but at the same time we're totally dependent.
Yeah.
You know, we make a plan, I'd like to do this for you, but then at the same time we need help every single step of the way. We're always bothering him with different things in need, and please help me with this, and oh my God, I got myself into trouble here. So what's the how should we go about, you know, making our plans and devotional service and our consciousness?
Well, you know, we have all our limitations, and it depends how powerful we are in inspiring others. Prabhupada always spoke about lazy intelligence. Prabhupada said that in his youth he was, he got involved in a soccer team. And Prabhupada said that he became the goalie because he was too lazy to run around. He said, I always was lazy. Right? And he would speak in favor of lazy intelligence, right? Which meant, you know, like, inspire others to do. Right? So the more we can inspire others to do, the better it is. And because if we ask others to do things for us, that's very good, because, you know, people cannot chant Hare Krishna the whole day, right? Who can do that? But they can do something practical, you know what I mean? They can help to put on a program in the university, that they can do. But who can chant Hare Krishna the whole day? You know, who can do that? 2 hours is really like 16 rounds. It's like 16 rounds. Right? So in this way, it's very good that we create many practical engagements for people. It should not become over-endeavor where we try to take on so much and that we ourselves cannot start to neglect our rounds and our reading and hearing and chanting. That we must protect. And when that gets affected, yeah, then we are over-endeavoring. Of course, everybody does that. Like me, I sometimes get so busy and then I get so exhausted from all the activities and then I have no more energy to chant properly. You know? And then I know, okay, now I overdid it. Now I do it. I went too far. So, you know, like the nature of the of living in the material world is that sometimes we get out of balance. And as soon as you notice it, then you have to return to the good balance. There's no such thing as being situated in a balanced position. It doesn't exist. One has to always, again, go back to a balanced position. And that is, that comes from experience. You know, then we learn how to look at all our interests, not just at one thing, but at everything. Preach up a storm, but also have reserve some energy for good sadhana. How to balance? Not easy. I speak for myself. Yeah. Not easy. Like, I did the Ratiyatra. I forgot what I did before the Ratiyatra. I did something in Cape Town. I mean, I forgot it, but it was busy. And then I went to the Ratiyatra. And then after the Ratiyatra, I crashed for one day, which is everybody does. I did a program. I went to a meeting, had a program. And then I had a birthday. And then I drove to Ladysmith because I'm crazy, which is far, you know. And back the next morning, right? And then I went to a national council meeting because I'm crazy. And then there was this Kirtan Mela. And then Savi Sachi was there and he's also crazy. So he started to sing like in such a crazy way. And then Vraj Balava played Madanga and he was also playing in a crazy way. And then the Kirtan went crazy. It went crazy. Huh? It was crazy. And then I just was totally finished. And then the next day, and then the people wanted to see me until 11 o'clock, went to bed at 11:15, and the next morning I left at 4:30, 4:45 actually, because I'm crazy, flew to Johannesburg, did a Sunday feast in Indonesia, then drove straight to Soweto and did another Sunday feast there. And I told Mahaprabhu I'm not going to do a rocking kirtan, and then I did a rocking kirtan because I'm crazy. And then at the end of that Sunday feast, Swaha told me that she wanted to have a Ratiyatra meeting, and I told her that she was crazy. And I crawled to the car. And on Monday, tired was not even the word anymore. It was like, I knew I had overdone it. Now I'm in Pretoria, and I'm trying to keep cool. And therefore today, I don't care that the university program is really great. I'm not going. I'm sending my servant, Jananivas. He's really good. No, he's good. And it's good for him too. And good for me too. I'm staying home. I'm not going to Soweto. I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing nothing the whole day. Ha ha. Because I'm not crazy. Okay. Thank you very much. I try to keep a balance in my life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.